Welcome to West Virginia Beer Roads, a program all about beer from a West Virginia perspective. I'm Charles Bockway. You know, one thing I never get tired of is visiting a new West Virginia brewery. And a related thing I never tire of is talking with new brewers. You know, young brewers who are just beginning their professional career journeys. Recently, I ventured out into the hinterlands of West Virginia, deep in the beautiful high country of the Appalachian Mountains, to Elkins, West Virginia. There I visited with one of those new brewers at her brand new brewery. So listen in. I think you'll enjoy hearing her story. Well, I've traveled to Elkins, West Virginia, and I happen to be sitting down in Fox Hops Brewery, and it's one of our newer breweries in West Virginia. I'm here with Samantha Fox, who's the proprietor and the head brewer, right, Samantha?
Yes, thank you.
Well, welcome to West Virginia Beer Roads. I've met you a number of years ago when you were probably still in brewing school or taking the brewing program at the community college, and but I'm kind of curious, even before that, where you got your interest in craft beer. How did it all get started?
Well, it started with home brewing. At the time, I was trying to figure out some ways to brew some things that I couldn't buy in the stores necessarily. So started out as a home brewer and then started doing competitions, and I really enjoyed doing that. Actually placed in the IPA Throwdown a few years ago, so that's kind of what got me, really gave me the fever, gave me the bug.
Yes. So are you from Elkins originally? It's your home area?
Yes.
And were you in the Elkins Homebrew Club?
I was not, no. I was living in Huntington at the time whenever I got into homebrewing.
Yeah, because I've met some of the guys here, mm-hmm. and certainly...
They're great guys.
Yeah, they are very active in the homebrew competitions and things that are in West Virginia. Well, anyway, well, that's interesting. You just came from the homebrewing side, mm-hmm. and then you decided to move over and do the brewing school. So talk a little bit about that decision and how that worked for you.
I had a previous career. I was an academic advisor at Marshall University and had reached a burnout point, was looking to do something different, and I knew that I wanted to make one of my hobbies my career, but I knew music wasn't necessarily going to pay the bills. So I found out about the brewing program at Bridge Valley Community and Technical College and the partnership with the Department of Labor. And from there, I was enrolled in classes the next day after I found out about the program, so I was committed to it.
Yeah, and that Bridge Valley Community and Technical College, mm-hmm. How many months, semesters, years did you go through there? Did you work through that program?
It was a 2-year associate degree program in brewing operations, mm-hmm. and a 2,000-hour apprenticeship through the Department of Labor.
And I know at least your main apprenticeship, I think, was at Greenbrier Valley Brewing.
Yes, it
so
was.
Talk a little bit about that experience. You were a young in-training brewer, and you went over there and worked with the guys.
Yes, yeah. One of the few breweries that hired we had many female on staff, almost 50% was female staff when I got in there. And I got to do a little bit of everything. I did some small batch brewing. I did production brewing, kegged out beers, worked on the canning line. So I got a really good experience of all the different aspects that go along with owning a professional brewery.
Yeah, now that was a good place to be because they do so many aspects, and they're one of the larger breweries in the state. And they were certainly canning a lot and kegging a lot and then, you know, brewing a lot of different styles of beer, both on big systems and on small batch systems.
Yes.
So, yeah, I would think that would have given you a good range. Is that kind of the way you come away from it with?
Yeah, so I had learned to brew on their big automated system, and then they gave me a chance to do some small batch stuff, and I just fell in love with it. I liked doing more of it manually, spending time, you know, stirring in, mashing in, being a part of the beer itself. So that's kind of what drove me to want to do this.
Yeah, and I know they've got a new owner since you mm-hmm. were there and all, but man, I tell you what, I'm just so excited about the group that's down there now. Of course, a lot of them are ones who've been there a while, the brewers, but man, they're brewing some good beer again, and
yes,
I love
they
to
are.
See that. Yeah, it's
yes.
good. What I have in my hand now is something that you gave me, and I appreciate the gift, and it's a beer, which I'm going to let you describe, and we're going to talk a little bit about this first beer that something you brewed right here at Fox Hops Brewery.
Yes, so this is the Sammy Saison, and it is one of my favorite styles both to brew and to drink. Anytime I go to other breweries, I always try to taste their Saisons. But this is kind of fruity up front with some fall spices incorporated into it.
Yeah, it's got a lot of flavor, and that flavor, a lot of that flavor does come from the yeast and the fermentation and not from hops or grain.
Correct.
As much, right?
Yeah, Saisons are a yeast-forward beer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite styles, but hey, Samantha, it's a style that just mostly people say doesn't sell well in breweries around America today. What's your experience been with this beer?
It has done very well here in our tap room. I have several individuals that haven't drank in a long time, and that's a good starting point for them because it does have that fruity aspect. Mm-hmm. So it leads them back into drinking a little bit. And it tends to sell well with our cider drinkers and things like that. So.
Well, that's good that you found a home. I really appreciate that because it is, like I said, a beer style that I love and enjoy and have. Ever since I, years back, went to Belgium the first time and went to the Saison breweries over there and experienced some of it, because I didn't really know much about it before that. And, man, and anyway, I just loved seeing our small breweries that are expanding the envelope a bit away from just pale ales and IPAs and regular lagers, to get into some of these beers that have a totally different way that they're made, in a sense, what their taste comes from. And talk a little bit just about how you make this this Saison.
The Saison has base grains with Kara Munich and is paired with Fuggle and Chinook hops to get that unique flavor.
Yeah, that really does, I don't know, it just, if you haven't, or if you're not a drinker that's experienced in a lot of the Saisons of the world, you just need to get over there and give it a try. Maybe set them side by side with a regular beers that are more malt-driven beers or more hops-driven beers, and get a feel for why and how they're different, because they're quite unique in the way that the tastes come through, the spiciness, the fruitiness are different from other beer styles. And anyway, I'm just glad the Belgians figured this out and how they decided to do this with their yeast. And I guess you use a specific yeast for this one.
Yeah, I use the BE-134 is what I used on that.
BE, for people that are like me that say, okay, what company is that from?
Seyfel makes,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of the, certainly one of the companies that you see a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been around a long time.
Yes.
Well, anyway, that's wonderful. I'm glad we're starting out with a Saison. And you didn't even know that I was a big Saison fan.
I did not.
So you just, it must be some good ESP going on here. I'm going to ask you now to the process that and you got involved with, how you decided to open your own brewery. Because, you know, you're a fairly young, well, I'll say young to me anyway, young person who... you know, kind of just like you say, came out of the brewing program at the community college, and then, you know, you worked as an apprentice for a while and got your background and your skills sharpened. But then you just said, I'm going to go, instead of just working for somebody else, I'm going to open my own place. That was pretty daggone bold, I thought. And I'm thinking, really? She's going to do her own brewery up in Elkins? I mean, talk about how that decision process worked.
That decision had a lot of personal aspects involved in it, as well as professional. You know, working at Greenbrier, I felt like I was doing a lot of really hard work for someone else's name to be on the beer, and that didn't sit well with me. I just decided that if I was going to do it and I was going to put in that much effort, that I would like to see my family's name be a part of it. And, you know, on the personal side of it, I was dealing with just trying to decide where I wanted to be. You know, with a brewing degree and even with my other degree, I could work anywhere in the nation.
Right.
And just really wanted to be with my family. It was time to come home, and to get to build this with them and get to be a part of that with them every day, it's worth it for me.
And what you've built here, and we'll talk about some of the insides of the building afterwards, but it's a nice metal building that's larger than I kind of thought it might be before I got here. You got a nice size place. How did you get it? Find this location and get in here? And
we got very lucky finding the location. The family that owned the property was ready to sell, and it just all kind of worked out magically, actually.
Yeah. Well, that's meant to be then.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
Let's talk for a bit about your brewery, the actual setup, the equipment, the main equipment that you have in your brew house and fermentation area.
Yeah. So I have a 3.5-barrel Blickman small batch system. It's fully manual. There's no automation to any part of it.
and it makes you be very careful as you
does.
Go through the process.
Yeah.
All
yes.
right, go ahead. Yeah.
And I have four 3.5-barrel fermenters. They're jacketed glycol system, so that helps with temperature control. And it's been a great system so far. I haven't had too many hiccups, couple issues that were operator error, but that's part of the learning process.
Well, I would think so. Anytime it's new equipment to brew on, every equipment has its own distinctive personality. And until you learn it, it's hard to know. It's hard to come out of the gate brewing first time on a new system. Then you also have this rather large tap room. I mean, I don't know the capacity here, but tell me the capacity and talk about what all you have in your tap room.
Sure. We can seat up to 50 people in the tap room. We do have plans eventually to put a patio and expand some outdoor space, but that'll come a little bit later. We have a bar that seats six. So it's a very intimate feel when you come in. My family and I are always here, so you get a chance to ask questions and talk to us a little bit about it. And we also have a full-service kitchen as well.
And how many taps you keep going?
We have 12 taps. I've got 7 of them filled right now.
7 filled. Mm-hmm. That's great. Do you ever use those extra taps for other people's beer? Or
we haven't. At this point, we possibly could be doing something like that in the future. We have a couple of different breweries that we are pretty close to and have talked about some different ideas with.
Yeah, I keep hearing, certain ones want to trade, and it's usually when they're out of beer from their own system that they need. We need some more beer. We go down to our friends down the road and see if we can get a couple kegs.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. 50 people, a bunch of taps. This is a place that I imagine you get a good crowd in here, especially on weekends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, weekends have been pretty good. We are one of the few places in Elkins that's open on Monday nights.
Wow.
So we would encourage people to come up and check us out, have a burger, have a bratwurst, and a good beer.
Yeah. We'll get back to the tap room here later, but I'm curious to move kind of the focus of our program today to your brewing philosophy. And it's already heard, and we heard you made a Saison as one of your primary beers, which is unusual and certainly in West Virginia. But talk about your overall philosophy, where you want Fox Hops to fit in the market.
Sure. So if you take a look at our tap list, it is a wide variety of different beers. There is only one pale ale and no IPAs on my list right now. I do have some plans for those in the future, but I really wanted to start off with trying to encourage people to try things that maybe was outside of their comfort zone.
Well, I think that's really interesting, because to run a tap room without an IPA, I mean, today in West Virginia, where we're so IPA-centric now at most of our brewery tap rooms, how's that working for you?
It's working out very well. Our American Ale is our number one seller. That's probably the closest thing I have to a domestic. But then our Chocolate Stout is our second top seller, so it's really getting people who maybe haven't tried craft beer or haven't experienced a lot of it to try some things that are different.
Yeah, and that is important, because, I mean, when you're out here in a small city in West Virginia and you're serving Saisons and other just other ales and lagers, you're going to bring in people that have never had these before, certain ones, certainly like the Saison and things. Or I'm just wondering, do you really spend a lot of time educating people? I mean, how, and what's that process like? I mean, how do you engage your customer to try these beers?
Well, I think that's one of the benefits of us being small enough that I can brew during the day and be here in the evenings in the tap room. So when people have questions, I'm available to answer, discuss the beer styles, talk about, you know, the types of ingredients that are used or what types of flavors they can perceive from those beers. So I'm really encouraging when people come in. I'm like, please let me know if you have any questions. I'd love to talk to you about beer. And that's one of the best things about this job. Yeah.
No, I think that's it is the best way to get people to try and sample and learn, mm-hmm. because there's so much to learn about these beers, and that's what makes them so intriguing and so popular, because it's not just beer anymore. It used to be, yeah, it all was the same, you know, basic pale lagers or light pale lagers, and nowadays, I mean, my goodness, what you're brewing here and other breweries around the state, it's just a world of difference, and the beer styles are so broad and so tasty, you know. That's the thing that I noticed. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the specifics of your beer style and range. So let's go through your tap list and not just what you have on today, but what you typically people would find here.
Mm-hmm. So the beers are numbered. We tend to keep them in order that they are brewed in. So the first one that we brewed was the Chinook Smash. And a smash is a single malt and single hop beer. So the only thing that's in this is Maris Otter and Chinook hops. And that is, it's a pale ale, so it gives you a little bit of hoppiness, but it's not overly hoppy like an IPA. Uh-huh. So it's a good segue into hoppier beers. Number two is our amber ale. So that's going to give you a little bit of those malt forward beer styles, but also with Pearl and Willamette hops. So it kind of has a good balance between malty and bitter.
Right. And that's a, you know, style that people are going to, different from a pale ale, mm-hmm. so, which is more, starts to lean to the hops, where the ambers probably lean toward the malt.
Just a little bit. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Number three is our number one seller, the American Ale, and it is a two-row and corn-based grain bill, and then I use traditional German Hallertal Mittelfrau hops in that one.
Oh, that sounds like like almost a lager clone.
Yeah, a little bit. It's as close as I could get without doing actual lagering. We were trying to get as many beers brewed as quickly as possible, and lagers take a little bit longer, so that's why you're not going to find that on our list right now.
And I hear that
now.
From certainly all small brewers around the country. It's been difficult for them to find space for a lager when they have, you know, smaller equipment and fewer tanks.
Yes.
It's difficult.
Yes. Number four is our brown ale, and that's going to give you a little bit of molasses and brown sugar in the malt side of it, and then again German hops and British hops in that. So it's a warm beer. It's what I would call like a nice cozy up to the fire type of beer. Number five is our chocolate stout, so that has some chocolate grains, also dried hopped with cacao nibs. And then number six is our Sammy Saison that we've discussed already.
So those are the six that are out here today. Mm-hmm. And are there a couple more beer styles that you tend to brew but just aren't in stock today?
So as of today, actually, we're releasing a blonde ale this evening.
Well, very nice. Good for a warm weather.
It is. We're starting to get some warmer weather up here.
Even though in Elkins it never gets hot.
No.
Does it? We're way up here in the mountains, guys.
Yes. And then in the future, I have a couple of IPAs coming up, a New England Hazy that I'm going to do. I'm going to add some sours and gozas onto the list as we brew. Yeah.
So I think that slowly introducing these IPAs to your bar, you're also slowly probably learning more about making them, I mean, as a brewer, I mean, from that side, because, you know, there's a certain technique, certainly for hazies, that are different from the non-hazy IPAs.
And very much,
it's interesting. It's probably not something that you just automatically do. You got to, again, see how that equipment, your own equipment, handles all that.
And every beer style, I research and figure out, you know, what's traditional, and then what can I do to put my twist on it.
Very good. Yeah. So while we're talking about beer styles, you have a second beer for us to sample today, and I want you to talk about this as I take a sip.
Well, this is our chocolate stout. It is dosed with lactose and dry hopped with cacao nibs.
Yeah, you can kind of smell that creamy, chocolatey creamy chocolatey aromas coming off the top of this beer.
It does have a little bit of a back end of coffee, but it's not overwhelming.
And has it been popular?
It has. It is our second top seller.
Wow. So yeah, I mean, a lot of times you figure that darker beers, the dark colored beers, don't sell nearly as well as the pale beers. Mm-hmm. And certainly when we're in this IPA world of West Virginia today. But that's good to hear that people are all sampling this stout.
And surprisingly, the population that drinks the American Ale seems to be the same ones that are drinking the chocolate stout. So I'm bringing people into a different style than what they're used to.
Yeah, and I will comment on these two beers anyway, and I imagine that applies to your most, or maybe all of your list, is that these are very approachable, very drinkable styles. They're not like way out there on any extreme, and it's a, to me, probably a good way to start a brewery in West Virginia today, where your people, like I said, many of the customers aren't familiar with these kinds of beers at all.
Well, thank you.
I'm guessing that you don't distribute.
Currently, no, we do not. We're looking to do a little bit of self-distribution once we see what our taproom sales are going to be. I don't want to put my customers out of beer.
Right.
So once we see that and we see what the demand is for it, then we can explore that.
Yeah, and I think that's a smart, well, to me, a very smart philosophy. And if I was starting a small brewery, that's where I would go, would just sell it all over my own bar until I see what works for me, what styles people enjoy, what I can really do really well on my equipment and with my personality and whatever you want to call it, before I start trying to push it all over town. You want to know that you've really mastered that product.
Absolutely.
I would think. And so that's a, I mean, to me, as our West Virginia brewing culture grows, that's a big part of it, because we need more Fox Hops breweries. We need small places in smaller communities that attract new people and expand our market. I'd still call you a pioneer, you know, even in a town that's had a brewery for 10 years. I mean, we have a nice big brewery here, big for West Virginia.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's even got big in its name, you know, Big Timber. I guess, what's it been like working here with those guys just down the road?
We have a wonderful relationship with them. I am so thankful. When I was starting out and needing some help with my tap lines and setting up my glycol chiller, Matt has been absolutely fantastic and super helpful. They came up for our soft opening and participated in that, so it was really nice. And I plan on going down today for their big party.
Yeah, well, we'll all be over there. It's their 10th anniversary this weekend,
yes.
So yeah, it'll be fun. Let's talk about the tap room operation. Well, you've already talked some, but I'm curious, hours and days of the week. Go through that for us.
We're open Monday through Saturday, 4 to 10. We're closed on Sundays. We did decide to, originally started with 7 days a week, but that was just a little too much to bite off at the beginning. So we have Sundays off, but like I said, we are one of the few places open on Mondays, so that has been helpful.
And you have events here and a lineup of, do you do entertainment and things?
We don't have anything scheduled just yet, but we are looking for Tuesday nights to be our event nights. So if you're in town on a Tuesday and maybe you want to hear a jam session or some karaoke or possibly even planning some trivia and bingo events coming up in the next few months.
Well, and I do like that beer here is the feature and that's the attraction. And it doesn't have to be a band or a comedian or a trivia night, and nothing wrong with those, but here, at least starting out, it's the beer that brings people in, and that's good. You learn a lot that way, I think.
The beer and the food. We have a...
Oh, yeah, sure. Talk about the food.
Our bratwursts have our amber ale in them. They're made by Wendlings, local to Buckhannon. And then the brown ale has beer cheese has our brown ale in it.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. The Wendling people have a history of making some bratwurst with West Virginia beer added.
Yes.
Yeah, I think a brewery that's no longer around, unfortunately. But now you're actually working with them to do that. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Folks, I would definitely come up here and try a bratwurst that Fox Hops Brewery and get your little beer taste out of that brat and see what it's like.
Absolutely. We do flights, which is 3 beers, 6-ounce pours for $10. And so for $20, you can try all 6. With the addition of the new one, we'll throw that one in for you to get to try it as well.
Oh, you're very kind. And I think you mentioned earlier that you might have some family working with you here. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit of how you staff your place.
Yeah, so it's a women-owned company. My mother and I are the primary owners. And then most of our staff has been friends that I have either bartended with or worked at breweries with, and I've pulled them in on events. And so it started off with me calling my friends being like, hey, you want to come up and work for tips tonight? And now they're full-time employees. So it's been really nice to get to work with my friends and family and create that atmosphere here.
As far as I know, you are the only woman-owned brewery where the person that brews is also the owner.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I know ones that have, couples,
sure,
that are split the place, and maybe the majority is owned by the female. Mm-hmm. So they say they're female owned, which I would call, that's fine.
Yeah.
But they're not the brewer. So I mean, like, you're probably the only place that I'm aware of anyway that where the head brewer, the person that runs the place, is also the owner and is also female. I think that's really cool. I mean, we need more of that. We've been slow probably in the state. You mentioned Greenbrier Valley, but in a few other places certainly have used females in their brew house or in their brewing programs. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to see and grow that, because that's a big market to tap and talent to tap. What do you think about that?
I know several other female brewers in the state, but it is kind of nice to get to say, like, as far as the Department of Labor certification, I'm the Tigger. I'm the only one. So that's kind of a nice little, I won't say bragging, right, but it's a good state to be in.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's important to spreading the craft beer culture, because beer tends to be a little male-centric, majority anyway. And craft certainly has attracted many more women into it. And you want to keep it going, though, and I admire what you're doing. And I guess I'm curious, too, Samantha, do you find ways to work and mentor, or do you have thoughts about mentoring other women to get involved in craft beer?
Absolutely. So this coming Tuesday, I have the D&E Chemistry Club coming up, and there are several women from the Chemistry Club that are very interested in brewing.
Let me just break in for a second.
Sure.
D&E is the local college here, Davis and Elkins College. So go ahead.
So I'm going to bring them in for kind of a brewery tour and some dinner and things like that. But to get to talk to people that understand the chemistry side of it and are interested in it, maybe pulling them in to come in for some brew days and things like that. We're also getting ready to do our Pink Boots brew here in the next couple months.
Oh, yeah. So you're involved in the Pink Boots Society, which you go ahead and describe that society, because I think a lot of people may not know what that is.
Yeah. So it's an organization that focuses on education for females and non-binary individuals in the brewing industry. So they help with education, they help with scholarships, placing internships. So it's a really great program. And they each year they sell a batch of hops that they designate as like Pink Boots hops. So it's their own unique blend. And then you get females together from the community, you do a brew day, and then you release that beer and have a big party.
So you're going to do that here?
We are, yes.
Excellent. What's the timeline?
We're looking at the next couple of months. I'm trying to get caught up on some of our other brews. But yeah, it is coming up, and it will be advertised that we're looking for individuals to come up and be a part of the brew day.
All right. You heard it here. If you're a female or a non-binary person in the communities of West Virginia that you're close enough to Elkins, you might want to participate in a Pink Boots Society Brew Day. Mm-hmm. Keep in touch with Samantha Fox and Fox Hops Brewery. Let's talk about how people can keep in touch on social media with you.
Our best way right now is through our Facebook page. So just search Fox Hops Brewery on Facebook and we pop up. We're in the process of working on our website and things like that as well. But Facebook's definitely the best way to get a hold of us right now.
Any festival attendance this summer? Are you planning to hit any of our local beer festivals with the wonderful Fox Hops beers?
Yes. So we just finished West Virginia Beer Fest in Morgantown. We're scheduled to be at Brewgrass this summer, as well as the festival in Wheeling, back down to Huntington for Rails and Ales. So you'll see us at a few of those events.
Yeah, Mountaineer Brewfest in Wheeling is one of our better festivals, and certainly the Huntington Festival, Rails and Ales, is maybe the best in the state and the biggest. But yeah, you're hitting some of the real good ones there. Yeah, I think so. Well, anything else that you'd like for West Virginia beer community to know about your place or what your plans are here?
I think just come up and check it out for yourself. We really strive to get a family atmosphere, so kids are welcome. We also have soda and some other beverages to drink, wine and White Claws if your partner isn't necessarily a fan of craft beer. We just want to encourage people to come up and be a part of it with us.
Yeah, that's something that you have to do today for, like you say, the couples or families that where people need something other than beer, because they're not all beer fans, and you don't want to, you know, not be friendly to them and welcoming to them. Do you have any thoughts on maybe making some of these different kind of products that are less beer-like?
Some hybrids that we're looking at this summer would probably be, I want to put out a summer shandy. And I'm also thinking about trying to figure out some kind of Apple Jacks beer cider mix.
Okay. So yeah, that'll be fun to see what you do then and develop I'm interested too in what you come up with your big hop to IPA beers too. That'll be fun to see. Should get further into that kind of program.
We have some ideas for those coming up as well.
Yeah. So, folks, definitely check out Fox Hops Brewery in Elkins. Get over this way. You can visit two places within a couple miles of each other, with Big Timber being down the road in city. Samantha, it's been great to have you on our West Virginia Beer Roads podcast today. And I thank you for taking an interest in brewing, and also to try and expand that envelope here in a part of West Virginia, well, like any part of West Virginia, that really needs more exposure to craft beer.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
This brings us to the close of another podcast. Remember, you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast host. West Virginia Beer Roads is a production of BrilliantStream.com.